better the heart of God as well, for his heart to reach lost people. This morning I was sitting practicing with the ladies, and these scriptures came to my mind that really do reflect the heart of God. And he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you so much that we can be here, that we can learn more about our missionaries and how to better support them, Father, and remember them so that, Father, we can cover them in prayer. We know that those on the front lines face much opposition from the enemy, and his resistance is increasing, and our missionaries do need that extra measure of support. So we give this service to you. We pray that you would be glorified and that you would be honored in our service and that you would bless each person who takes part. And we ask this all in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. If you would please stand and join us for a time of worship this morning.
Control, I want more of you.
you're singing, you may be seated.
Well, good morning. Today, as you have heard, is a Mission Sunday focus. And we realize that with church closures and various COVID regulations over the last year, we have often let our supported missionaries fall through the cracks. I know that for me, it's been all too easy to become self-focused and to forget that Emmanuel Baptist supports missionaries, and they still need prayer and support. So today we hope to update you with the personal lives of our missionaries in their ministry and to take some time to pray for them. Unfortunately, we will not be able to cover all of the missionaries in one service due to a lack of time. So if you would like to know more, please either contact myself or Ellie Finster, or you can take a look at our missions board in the back here. The missionaries that we will not be able to focus on in this service will be presented during the second service. I'm just going to list their names right now so that you kind of have an idea of all the people that we support. So the ones that we will not be able to cover this service is Josh and Jenny Smulders, Jonah Dillabo, Dave and Barb Hisechnik, Carrie Jo Fair, James and Ann Siebert. Just as a little update as well, there are two missionaries that are no longer supported by Emmanuel Baptist. They are Carissa Irwin, who formerly was Carissa Weeb with Christar. She was serving in India, and Andrew and Melissa Siebert, who were ministering with NCEM in Lac La Biche. Neither are in official full-time ministry anymore, and so they are no longer needing financial support from us. Lastly, before the presentations begin, I would like to encourage you to sign the cards in the back. As you came into the foyer here, you saw some tables set up. There's cards there. Each of our missionaries have a little card there. If you could sign them, I think that would be of great encouragement to them. We'll be leaving them up only for 2 weeks, so this Sunday, next Sunday, and then we're going to send them off to them. So if you want to sign it, don't waste time. Just get over there and do it right away, please. On that note, Carrie Jo Fair, we have to be careful about what we put in for content as well. She is in a closed country, so don't use certain words that you don't think would be good to be going across, in a card across these kind of things. So, also, I am not living this, but apparently you can come up here and take your mask off to speak in it, and I completely forgot to do that. So for those of you who are doing presentations, that is for you. With that said, we will begin the presentation of our ministries for this service.
So I am presenting on behalf of John and Evelyn Siebert, serving with Northern Canada Evangelical Missions. And by way of brief overview of the past year, this past year has been unique because of COVID-19 and the varying restrictions across Canada. We've not been able to visit all of our missionaries. Overall, we've been seeking to help them navigate the new restrictions, sharing ideas, praying, encouraging them as best as we can. Update on their personal lives. We are doing well personally. John is enjoying reading the Bible through in a year, as well as doing much study at the same time. I appreciate when he shares some of the nuggets he finds. Our health is good, except for more aches and pains as we age. John especially feels his sore broken seat, sore knees, and sore ankles. Since we have decided to move to Valley View, we have been slowly trying to downsize and pack. We have made a few trips already, moving mostly outside items. Our house there is listed on Kijiji, this is back in Saskatchewan, and saskhouses.com, which has resulted in several showings, even one this morning when they wrote this, and genuine interest, but so far no sale. Update on their ministry. We've been able to see field missionaries in person from BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and one from the Northwest Territories. though we have not been allowed to stay with them in their homes as we usually do. We are thankful that we could meet them at those restaurants which remained open for in-person dining. It was a privilege to linger over our meal so as to make the most of these visits. We have been seeking to connect with the remaining missionaries by phone and much more frequently at that. Some have been discouraged, but mostly they are figuring out how to work around restrictions and carry on with the ministry they are still able to do. Some are still getting into the prisons for Bible study. Others have still been able to have their kids and youth clubs, but just done differently. Bible study and church services have continued as well in several places, working with restrictions that are at play in each place. Several had begun to put their services online during the most severe restrictions, and now, even though they have opened up in-person services, they continue to put them online as well. This appears to be reaching those who otherwise would not come to services. There has definitely been an increase in dealing with suicide and grieving in the First Nations community. This can be discouraging and depressing, even for our missionaries as they seek to help the people. We are seeking to be able to being available for the missionaries to pray with and encourage them in this. We were involved for one day at the new candidate training at one of our Bible camps. While there, we connected with several new missionaries that are still raising support to go into their field ministry. Recently, John was able to go to Maskwacis, Alberta, to help Conrad Flett, the host of Tribal Trails, to set up a radio tower. The church there, in connection with Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, is now broadcasting Christian programming on the air that reaches all four reserves there. I came the next day, and through this, we were able to connect with our field missionaries there. On Monday, John will be using our truck and trailer to help a new missionary family move from Nipawin to Buffalo Narrows, Saskatchewan, to begin their ministry there. On Tuesday, John will go with Conrad to Manitoba in relation to the radio tower at Norway House. This will allow John to connect with our field missionaries there. Our single lady missionary at Pervenictuck, Quebec, is needing repairs to be done on the NCM house she lives in. She would like it to be done this summer, so John has been checking into requirements / restrictions, whether our sister mission would be able to fly us with their plane, and who John can go to with to him to do these jobs. Their quarantine time there will be also their work time. And prayer items specifically they're asking for is prayer for their house in Shelbrook, Saskatchewan to sell, and also to pray for this upcoming planned trip to Quebec to work out this summer, and they need two more men to go with John. Pray that we would be able to encourage each missionary in this difficult time. So let's just take a quick moment to pray for John and Evelyn. Lord, we thank you so much for John and Evelyn, for their years of dedicated, selfless service for the name of Jesus Christ amongst our native people in this vast and sparsely spread country of ours. Lord, we know the challenges have been great. We know even through this COVID pandemic, it's made some of these restrictions even more difficult to work through. And yet, we see how through that, so many churches, even the native churches and missions, have been able to adapt and put their services online. And even more people now can hear your word. And so we see the blessings in spite of the difficulty. I pray that you would be with all of the missionaries in NCEM, those who have been discouraged, especially by some of the uptick in suicides due to drug overdose and hopelessness. Lord, be with those missionaries as they try to provide help and hope through your name. And be with John and Ev as they encourage and upbuild the missionaries that they serve and support and encourage. Bless them, Lord, as they make this transition back to the Valley View area. Pray that their house would sell and for a very good price so that they could not have financial concerns to worry about. And I just pray that you would bless them in their plans this summer that they could do this Quebec trip to help this lady get her house fixed. And Lord, that you would just continue to bless them and encourage them. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for John and Evelyn and how they represent you so well. Bless them and make them a blessing. And thanks for the opportunity to be able to pray for them and support them. We bring all these things before you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Year. And so 2020 we had decided not to run camp and instead work on some projects around camp, so we ended up camp again through Davey Mom. I'd like to just thank you guys so much. We would like to thank you guys so much for your support. It means so much to us, and we just can't say thank you enough. We just want to give you a quick little overview of this past year. And so 2020, we had decided not to run camp and instead work on some projects around camp. So we ended up resurfacing our dock, which was a huge, huge undertaking and was awesome. We also dug some trenches around camp and laid some fiber optics to improve our internet camp-wide. So that has been really good for the staff who live here, as well as the different offices around camp. But with no kids, that means no revenue in the summer, and so that was not good at all for our staff going into the fall. We had to cut back, and so our team ended up being quite a bit smaller. And then later in the fall, or early in the winter rather, when we couldn't have rental groups either, that again was not good for our revenue, and so we struggled throughout the winter for sure, just maintaining the small staff we had, and as well as just the morale kind of after a hard summer with no camp. It's tricky to just kind of figure out what ministry looked like for us, for our small team here at Nestlake. And so our operations director organized a few citywide events, and we were able to participate in some of those as a camp, and just kind of see some faces once in a while, and just see how desperate people are for something throughout this winter. And so it was nice to be able to stay somewhat connected in the community, but it has been really tricky for sure in that area. And so it's just been challenging, even working towards the spring. We've found it's been really frustrating sometimes, putting a lot of effort into changing a lot of our programs and then having to cancel some of them completely, especially a lot of our events over the winter and things like that. So it's been hard for sure. And I guess on the opposite side of that, this spring it's been exciting. We finally have kids at camp again through school groups this spring, and so that's been really exciting. We are looking forward to the summer with day camps, which we were able to try out this spring in March during spring break camp. And so we tested it there and it went really well. And so we're excited for the summer to just have camp again through day model. So that means a lot of busing and a lot of change in our program and scheduling. So we've been working hard at that, and we're excited just to see what God will do this summer in the lives of our staff and summer team, as well as the kids that come out.
We've had two kids in the time since we last had camp. So Tess is 1.5 now, and Hudson is 5 weeks old. And yeah, they're so much fun, and we're just really loving having lots of family time. And it's been nice to have William home a lot this year, and just getting to know our kids. And getting our feet underneath us as parents. And yeah, we've struggled with feeling really new at a lot of things. Like, we're new to Prince George and to camp ministry and to parenting. And yeah, with this last year, we've felt kind of isolated as well. And so yeah, so that's been tricky for us. But we've also seen God really working in that in our lives and just teaching us how to be satisfied in Him, and that He is, yeah, He's enough for us, and what that looks like on a daily basis. A few ways you can pray for us is, first, for the day camps. It's a totally new way of doing camp, and everything's different, and we just want the gospel to be shared, whether it goes smoothly or not. So we'd appreciate prayer for that. Also, just as we get to know people and learn about camp and about Prince George and what the needs are here, and how we can fit into what God's already doing here. And also figuring out what ministry looks like as a family with little kids. Bye! Bye-bye.
Well, yeah, it's sure been a long, weird year for Will and Em. But we're just so thankful that the new one has come to this earth so healthy and safe. Little Hudson is his name. And yeah, it sounds like things are going quite well with him, so we're very thankful for that. But if you'd just join me in prayer for them. Lord, we thank you for Will and Emily and the ministry they have at Nest Lake Bible Camp. We thank you for their willingness to learn new roles at camp and parents in a new place. Lord, we ask that you give them wisdom as they embark on a summer of day camps. And Lord, I pray that above all else, your gospel would be shared and that the hearts of kids would be impacted. And we thank you for the safe arrival of little Hudson. And we ask for the continued health and strength for their family as they approach a busy season of ministry. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
I get to pray for Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp. I gave an update last week, so I won't take time with that again. But join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for ways that you enable us to minister and to share your love in our community. So we're thankful for Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp. Thank you, God, for providing us a place where so many have met you for the first time, and so many come to be refreshed year after year. We know that there are even many among us who have directly or indirectly come to find salvation and hope through the ministry at Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp. And so we're grateful for that. Father, we know that without your presence and your grace in this Bible camp, it would just be another fun place to run and play. So today we again invite you to be the Lord of this camp, the leader, the center of it all. May every step taken, every meal, every activity, every Bible study, every chapel and fireside, everything we do be for your glory and to further your kingdom, God. We thank you, Lord, for the practical ways that we've witnessed your grace to Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp. Thank you for your provision of the new dining hall facility. We again ask that it would be a place that draws us nearer to you. We thank you for 56 years of your faithfulness to this ministry. You've been so good to us. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us in this 57th year. We need your wisdom in many things. As the camp board meets on Tuesday to try again, to chart a direction for this upcoming summer, we pray that you would lead them. We pray that the regulations would allow camps to proceed this summer, that we may provide the camping experience to the fullest extent possible. We thank you for the provision of directors and for staff. We pray that you would prepare each one to love the kids that attend and to share the gospel boldly. Lord Jesus, we are so amazed and thankful for your grace to each one of us in calling us to be your children, in saving us from death and darkness. We have such joy and hope in you, and our desire, Father, is to share that joy and hope, to offer hope and forgiveness to a hurting world. We ask that you would prepare each heart to hear and receive the gospel, that hearts would be softened, and that lives would be changed, that families would be changed. Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp is nothing without you, God. We need you to do the work. We thank you that you have done it and that you continue to do it and that you will continue. And we rest in your faithfulness, God. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters there in Valley View at Emmanuel Baptist. I'm glad we can join you this morning. It's too bad that this has to be by video. My temptation is just to drive up there and give a 2-3 minute sharing and then come home again. But yeah, that is not always possible. So we'd like to welcome you to our backyard. This is our backyard. It's been my office in the summer, last summer and this summer. And so I get the chance to do a lot of our Zoom meetings and stuff out here, whether it's marriage mentoring, marriage counseling. We've had a chance even in the past few weeks to meet with couples out here and do marriage counseling in our backyard. And so that's some of the things that we've been trying to do as we minister with family life and in our COVID age.
So those of you who are sitting in the congregation this morning who don't know who we are, we're Keith and Stephanie Dillable. We're working with Family Life Canada. Most of you know my husband. He was the family pastor there for almost 11 years. So we're glad to see you this morning.
So what's happening? So over the last year or so here, during COVID, ministry really changed. I was pastoring until May last year. And then in June, I started with Family Life full time. And it wasn't quite exactly what we pictured with the COVID. And so, those of you guys who know me, I love people, and so I was really looking forward to, conferences and teaching marriage mentoring and stuff in group settings and these kind of things and getting to know the larger church body across Alberta. So with COVID, we've had to change over and do a lot of our ministry online this last year. So we've had the chance to do Together for Goods, which is a marriage workshop. And some of you guys got the chance to join us last May in that. We've got the opportunity to do marriage mentoring and marriage mentor training online as well. We've been doing some of that stuff.
So personally, we've been able to train 32 new marriage mentors. And nationally, Family Life Canada has trained over 300 marriage mentors, which is great because the need is great. There's lots of couples who would love to be mentored, but we don't have a lot of mentors. So if that's something that you'd be interested in, just walking alongside another couple, sharing your life story, and giving them hope and encouragement for their marriage. That's all really marriage mentoring is, and we'd love to have the chance to talk with you.
You know, as the scriptures tell us, older men to mentor younger men and older women to mentor younger women, we really believe the same way that those who have been married longer should be mentoring and sharing their lives with those who are younger in their marriage. And so if it's something you're considering, we'd love to connect with you and to encourage you that way or even just answer some questions. So feel free to connect with us. You guys have our number there at the church.
So going forward, what does our ministry look like? Well, we're still doing a lot of stuff online. Things are opening up slowly, so we're hoping to have some more connections with churches. We've been in contact with a number of churches who are just waiting for a few more things to open up, and then they're chomping at the bit to get going. So we'll be working with a number of partnering churches, working with them. We're also looking for more marriage mentors and do some more training that way too. With our larger national initiatives, our weekend getaways are our big projects. Those are the ones where you can get away for a weekend and intentionally work on your marriage. So they're looking at rewriting some new material for that for the fall of 2022. So that's happening in this next coming year as well, and we'll be part of that as well.
So one of the things I'm really excited about is a marriage workshop that we've been developing over since January, actually. Stephanie and I and two other couples have been on this team. And it's a marriage workshop that actually helps churches establish their own marriage ministries. And so a lot of times we find that there's ministry for marriages, premarital, and then there's crisis stuff. But what happens in between to keep marriages healthy? And so we've been working on that with the team, and we had a chance to pilot it this last Monday with a group of our staff. And we're looking forward to pulling this off in the fall, bringing it out. And one of the reasons why it excites me is because I'm really looking forward to connecting with many churches across Alberta and to be able to help them establish a strong marriage ministry in their communities.
So how can you be praying for us as a couple and ministry? So personally, we're still doing support raising. With COVID, it's been a little challenging. So we're still at 90% for Keith's support. We're still waiting for that last 10% to come in to start on my support raising as well. So if you can be in prayer for the financial aspect of ministry, that would be greatly appreciated. And also for the ministries that are coming up, more mentors. We need to, we definitely need more mentors and more people to be engaged that way. And also for more church connections, for more partnering churches to come alongside and really engage in what it looks like to have a marriage ministry.
Yes, if you're praying for us in these things, and you know, with the marriage workshop, it's a big, it's an important part of our ministry that we're working on there. If you could be praying for that, would be great. And like I said, Stephanie mentioned support, and I'm missing something, but definitely we have many prayer requests. And you know, connect with our newsletter. We try to send out a prayer request there on a monthly to every 2 month basis as well. So we look forward to seeing you guys in August. We'll be up there serving at one of the camps at Sturgeon Lake Bible Camp, and so we'll get a chance to meet with you then as well. So until then,
thanks, church family. We love you.
We'll see you.
Okay, let's take a minute and pray for Keith and Stephanie. Father, I thank you for bringing the Delabos into our lives, as they have been here for many, many years as well before they moved on. So thank you for blessing us with that privilege. And we just pray for them, Father. We know that you supply all of our needs, and they have just talked about how they need more financial support. So Father, we just ask for your provision there. And we also pray for their upcoming ministry, Father, that you'd raise up more marriage mentors and that you just place it on people's hearts to be able to mentor other people, that they would realize they don't have to be perfect to do that. And so that you just lay that on their hearts, and that that family life would be able to make more connections with churches to partner with this marriage ministry, that they'd know how to do that and that churches would be on board and supportive for it. And we also just pray, even as they come up and speak at camp in August, that you would prepare children's hearts for that, what they will hear, and give Keith the words that you desire him to say, and that lives would be changed through that. And we also just pray that their ministry would bear fruit in building and strengthening godly marriages, that it would be instrumental in the shepherding and salvation of souls. And Father, I just want to pray out of 2 Timothy a little bit too, that they would present themselves to you as people who would not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, that they would preach the word in, that they would preach the word, that they would be ready in season and out of season, that they would reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And Father, we also just pray that they would be found blameless and pure until the day of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to Golden Prairie and Golden Prairie Community Church. Let's come on inside and see what it looks like. There's been some changes in here physically. You can see the TV as opposed to a projector projecting onto the back wall. We got donated a soundboard, so we have soundboard and speakers, and that's improved things quite a bit that way. We were asked to share about what the last year has been like. Frankly, it has been a bit of a hard year. Things like COVID restrictions with distances and things like that, and some people just have not come because of that. So that's been hard, but through it all, even though the numbers in the church are a little smaller, people are growing. They're getting closer to each other, sharing more with each other, and just loving each other, shall we say. The other thing that started with COVID, though, that has been really good, has been the online ministry. We started with, when the church got closed, videoing the sermons and putting them online, and we've just been, since we've been open, continuing that. And people are watching. Lots of people around the area and otherwise are watching, and I think that's having a good impact on the people in this area. As well as we started with what we call Kid Time. Basically, a little 5-minute deal, 5-10 minute for kids. And the people in the area have really received that very well, too. So these have been very positive things that have happened this year as well.
Let's go and have a look in the basement of the church.
Socially distanced for our prayer time Sunday morning. There's a prayer time every Sunday morning that has some very regular people who come. And they've been doing it for years, and it's wonderful. You wanted to know a little bit about us personally. I want to thank everybody for praying for me and for my eyes. The doctor has been doing shots every 2 weeks for the last 3 months, and it's made a difference. Things have backed up a little bit. We're now trying to extend that a little bit more, try and stretch it out if we can. Thank you for your ongoing prayers. I can see just fine at this point. We'll just see how long that lasts, but God's in charge, and he will be glorified through this, and that's my prayer. Something you can be praying for with the church, the Kid Time videos. A lady in our church named Yvonne does some. She's excellent. She's done a lot of children's ministries, and then I've been doing some others as well. And this summer, we're planning and looking at doing a summer Kid Time, basically a five-day club. And if you could be praying for that, for the planning for that, for COVID, hopefully by then things will be open. We'll see what's happening. We're planning it for the beginning of August before harvest, but hopefully when restrictions are as lifted as possible. And if you can just really be praying for summer Kid Time, the kids in the area will actually come and just pray that God's word will go out and have an effect on the children in the area.
This is my office. We really have enjoyed being in Golden Prairie. One of the things I really, really enjoy is my study of God's Word. A lot of that happens here in the office, of course, on the computer. And I usually spend about 16 to 20 hours a week doing that. And please pray that God would really always be showing me what I need to learn for myself and what the people need to hear as well. And in God's Word, and be able to proclaim it and speak it in a way that people can understand and that will change their lives. A big part of Village Missions is also being half of our time out away from the office and with people. This project we worked on yesterday was half done yesterday. They finished it up here today, and that building badly needed a new roof, and so I was helping with that. So that's one of the things that I get to do, husky with farmers, go around with them in their seed drills, combines, different things like that. Just be out and about with the people, give them help. Be with them, spend time with them. Please pray for the people of this community as well, that we would be able to be a witness for Christ among them as well as the people of this church, and that God would bring people to faith in this area. Part of Village Missions is also the gopher ministry. That is a gopher. There's billions of them around. A good thing to do with other people is you go out and shoot them. Good part of Village Missions, being out amongst people. And gophers sometimes.
All right, so I'll pray for Rod and Denise. Whenever I think of them, I miss them quite a bit. I always kind of hoped that they might have ended up back closer, but they sure seem like it's a good fit where they're at down there for them, and I think probably for the community too. So, Father, just think of Rod and Denise, and Lord, it's hard to believe it's been a few years already since they were such an active part of our church. And Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't see them as gone, but just a part of our church that is moved on, is actively serving you, and that we would treat them that way with thoughts and prayers, Father. And I know for myself, I could do better at just checking in with them and communicating with them, Father, and encouraging them. But just pray, Father, that you would give them reward for their service, that they be encouraged. I pray for the physical things that they've gone through. I know Rod had some knee surgeries as well, and for Denise with her eyes, Lord, and just moving to see her heart to trust you and your will. And I pray for the relationships that they're building with their community, that that would bear fruit, Father, that it would carry weight with them to see somebody pitching in and working alongside them, especially in a small, maybe side community that doesn't see a lot of people coming with such interest in their lives. So just pray that you'd continue to bless them in that and in their ministry as well, Father, and soften hearts to your kingdom. Amen.
Any of you enjoyed the update? I really do want to say a personal thank you to everybody who came up here and prayed. Now, I've been in ministry, more formal ministry, for about 20 years, and I said this in our first year of ministry, that no amount of money will keep God's servants encouraged or faithful. It provides the necessities of life to do the ministry. It's the prayer that keeps people going and the words of encouragement. So thank you for praying. I've titled this little talk, The God Who Reaches. The God Who Reaches. It all began after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, really, didn't it? Where are you? Where are you? And you know, God still asks that question today. And ever since that fateful day, when his creation turned their back in rebellion on him, God has been taking the initiative to reach out to his fallen creation. What grace! What kindness! What mercy! And today, we've had some overviews of five different missionaries and some of the work they do, and they've all been used of God in his ministry of reaching. Friends, lost people cannot be saved unless there are those of us who are willing to show and tell them about the love and kindness of God displayed in the person of Jesus Christ. We're actually a show and tell people. We're a show and tell people. How many of you remember show and tell? Jeff, did they have show and tell when you were... You know what? They had show and tell when we were in school. Dean, I bet even when you were in school, there was no show and tell. Okay. Well, something happened in here. And it, actually, I've often thought of this, you know. We would take toys or things like this to school. You know, not much has changed. The toys just got bigger. We love to show and tell, especially our material blessings and things that bring us joy. But there's so much more to the story, and maybe we can use our material things to open doors, to show and tell about the biggest thing that's hopefully happened in our life, and that's an encounter with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I could just tell you so many stories of how God has reached out to the lost through me over a lifetime. And it has been really exciting to be used of God to see hell-bound people snatched to safety. It has been said that Christianity is merely one beggar showing the other beggars where the bread is. I really like that. It simplifies it and in no way dumbs it down. It's also, Christianity is also letting fellow travelers know that the bridge ahead is out. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we continue before you, that not only would we celebrate how you have been reaching out through the five families that have been featured this morning, but that we would recapture a passion and a vision for our Jerusalem, our MD of Greenview, and that we would capture that vision and regain that purpose, and that we'd catch our stride, and we'd be willing to show and tell all about the God who reaches. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter,
and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were car salesmen. No, they were fishermen. That's what fishermen do, right? They cast their nets into the sea. And he said to them, what did he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? And women and children. And that is found in God's word, in the Gospels, and then in Acts 1, verse 8, listen to these words, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. The God who reaches. Mark 2, 17, Jesus said these words, those who are well have no need of a physician. I mean, you don't go to the doctor when you're not sick. I mean, you don't even want to go near the place where the sick people are, right? But he says, those who are sick need a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The God who reaches. And then we capture the heart of Christ as he's looking over Jerusalem before he's crucified in Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks or her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Again, the God who reaches. And then there's that famous scripture in John 12:32. That reads this way, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Now that, when he's lifted up from the earth, what is that a picture of, people? When was Jesus lifted up from the earth? On the cross. As he's nailed to the cross in that very posture, we have a cross up here. You can imagine Jesus hanging on that cross, that very posture, what are his arms doing? They're outstretched, right? Reaching, reaching, reaching the God who reaches. Christian, God desires you to be his mouth, his hands, and his feet reaching out to the lost in our Jerusalem. Greenview, number 16. Each and every day, he desires you and I to be reaching out in love to a lost, dying, broken, confused, scared world. It's often been said that you and I may be the only Bible the lost will ever read and study. It is our joy and privilege to bring the good news of salvation. Through Christ, to each and every person we're in contact with. Josh, I had a vivid memory when you came up here to pray of a summer at Bible camp when the Holy Spirit worked in a very particularly powerful way. And at the end of the camp, we had all the cabin leaders, came up and light a candle that represented a new life. And that summer, there was 50 candles burning on top of that little wood stove in the old chapel. And it was just a reminder. And Josh took a picture of that, and it hangs above our piano in our living room. I would like to offer you a very real story, though, and it's a sad story for this guy right here, of how I failed to walk obediently in reaching out to our neighbor, Walter, many years ago when I was these guys' age and I was in Bible school, and Walter was an atheist, and Walter was very hardened to the gospel, but Walter loved Sheldon. I painted his barn for him, and we re-roofed things, and I really did, I guess, I mean, it's hard for me to say I loved Walter when you're going to hear the rest of the story. But one day, the Holy Spirit very specifically said, Sheldon, I want you to tell Walter about me. And I know that Walter had driven off other evangelists, other pastors, and I was scared. But do you know that the Holy Spirit is faithful? Like, he even provided a plan. He said, Sheldon, why don't you just get your Bible, go at night to visit him, get all your Bible school friends together, that enough to get their hands together and join their hands together quietly around his cabin. while you go in and share the gospel. What a great idea. But I didn't listen, and I waited too long. And one Sunday morning on the way to church, as we came down toward Highway 59, just before La Glace, we lived north of La Glace, we saw there had been an accident, and Walter's little Dodge D50 pickup was smashed up, and he died that morning. This is heavy, right? This was heavy. And he died, and I never shared the gospel with him with words. Now you could say, but you lived it. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit was saying, Sheldon, you've got to talk to him. And you know, I had to really go to God with that. I was feeling really low, and I was feeling really humbled. And I remember going to his door of his little cabin, and I just, you know, we don't communicate with the dead in our evangelical circles. That is not biblical to do that. But I just said these words, Walter, I'm so sorry. God, I just have to give Walter to you. And I had a little note that I wrote. I poured out my feelings, and apparently his nephew said that note went with him in his suit pocket to the grave. But you know, once that person dies, it's over. There is no second chance, the Bible talks about. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so what I did say to the Lord that day were these words, Lord, when you open other doors from this point forward, I want to be faithful in walking through those doors, and I want to share your love and your salvation with those who need you. And the Lord gave me comfort, and he's given me many opportunities to share since that day. Because in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, listen to these words. These are action words. Go, therefore, the God who reaches. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. These are good words, guys. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you go, I am with you. If I'd gone to see Walter, the Lord would have been with me. I don't know what the outcome would have been, but that's not up to me. I was just a messenger. I was supposed to be a messenger. We are all called to be messengers. On a positive note, I've had the privilege of sharing the gospel with several people and see them respond in faith, in saving faith. I'll never say I led them to Christ, although I think it's just a semantic thing. It's just how we talk. It just means I got to be the one that happened to be on site when the Holy Spirit showed up, and I got to kind of explain and help them understand that Jesus, you know, loved people so much that he died on a cross and he shed his blood so people's sins could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead to give us new life. But you know, I kind of see myself, and I hope you see yourself, as a signpost pointing to the Savior, like John the Baptist. Do you remember what he said when Jesus showed up? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Okay? Pretty awesome. But there really is no experience like that of being able to share the plan of salvation with an individual and to witness the Holy Spirit moving into them, creating a new creation. It is so powerful. It is so exciting. Do you guys like holding a new baby? Don't they smell nice? You know, new Christians have a certain smell too. There's a joy there. There's a passion there. It is so amazing, and it's so exciting to be part of that. And I wanted to share a really vivid memory I had with you when we lived in Westlock, and we were serving in a lay capacity at Westlock Alliance Church back in about 1994, 1995. And we had some new neighbors move in across the street. We lived in the trailer park, and we had some new neighbors move in across the street, and his name was Rob, and he lived with his mom. And I just started to get this really big burden for Rob and his mom. And then as I would jog in those days, and I would jog and I would pray for Rob and his mom. And one day, it was just a really neat experience that as I jogged, and as I was getting to know Rob, he had gotten a job in Edmonton. Well, Westlock in Edmonton, you can't really walk and you can't ride a bike. And we had a truck, and we really felt the Holy Spirit saying, just give Rob and his mom your truck. It was like, okay. Well, we prayed about that, and we were able to give him the truck. And you know, kind of what's the natural thought when somebody gives you something like a truck? Why? Why would you give us a truck? And it was a really neat door-opening opportunity for us to share the God who reaches, the God who gives, the God who cares. And you know, that whole thing, God used that to just like rock Rob and his mom's world. And their hearts were just so open. They said, we want to know this God. We want to know this God that you serve. And I was able to pray with them in their house. And they gave their lives to Christ. What an exciting day that was, friends. And then I said, you know what? This is a free gift. You didn't earn it. We don't expect any payment. All you got to do is maintain it. And even that, there's something about salvation, right? Our Christian walk, it's a free gift, but we're still called to maintain by reading and studying and applying and being obedient, right? And just not taking it for granted, not abusing it, you know, not using our grace as a license to sin. So it was just some really neat things that God did at that time. Yesterday, I had the privilege of talking with my brother, Darren Platt, who is a pastor at Steel Heights Baptist Church in North Edmonton. And he shared a story of one time he was in the university hospital for some reason, and he came out, and there was a guy sitting in a wheelchair, and his pants were rolled up past his knees. And Darren figured maybe he had an accident with some hot burning oil at a restaurant or something. And he was sitting in his chair, but before he actually saw that, Darren had this feeling to pray. He said, Lord, is there somebody here you want me to talk to? And so he just said, Lord, is there someone here you want me to talk to? And as he came out, he saw this guy sitting in the wheelchair. This guy had his head down. He's playing his Game Boy. You know, he's just sitting there playing his Game Boy. And Darren walked by and says, hey, how are you doing? And the guy says, good. And in that moment, Darren says, you know, God sent me to talk to you. Doing. Really? And it turns out that about 10 minutes before Darren showed up, this guy had been over at there must be a waterfall in the wishing well area there at the university hospital. This is a few years ago. And he'd thrown a coin in and he'd said, God, if you're there and you care about me, would you please send somebody to talk to me? That's a true story. And Darren said, all I had to say, send someone to talk to me or pray for me. Pray for me is what it was. And like Darren said, all I had the sense was to just pray for him, and I just prayed for him. And that was kind of all, that was his part. He was that link in the chain. We don't know who the next person was. But that was really, really neat story, a true story. The God who reaches. Friend, do you see how God has squarely placed the responsibility of reaching out with his love into our hands? This rests upon our shoulders. He's called us to reach out. He's called us to share. He's called us, he's commissioned us to go. He's put the Holy Spirit in us to have the power to do so. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the age in this process. He's called us to share. Go out and win the lost. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. In the year 2000, I taught an evangelistic course entitled, and Jeff, you'd remember, Becoming a Contagious Christian. That was, who was the author of that again? You think about it, tell me later. But really stuck out to me in that course was this statement. If you and I view the lost as losers, we will see them through the lens of contempt. If we see the lost as truly lost, we will see them through the lens of compassion. Let me put it this way. How do you feel when you're in a big store and you see a little kid separated from his mom and dad? Okay, you're in character. Big store, little kid separated from mom and dad or their caregiver. Don't you just feel very, very concerned that they get reconnected with who they belong to? Yeah? I'm the only one? Yeah, okay, thanks, Chris. I'm like, I freak out. Like, I'm like, this poor kid, like, this poor kid is scared. They're terrified. And you can tell they've lost connection with their mom. And everything in you just wants to get them back together. And you know, I really believe that's the heart that God wants to put into us with evangelism and reaching out to lost people. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The God who reaches. Friends, we must not leave this building today without purposing to begin praying that God will soften lost people's hearts for their need of a Savior. It has now been a long time since I have personally experienced an open door to share the gospel in this community. I don't know if that's my problem. I don't know if I'm just not making connections or if there's this hardening that has set it into this region. Jeff, you might know more than I do as you're involved with many, many people outside of the church settings. But it seems like it's hard. It seems like it's really, really difficult. One beggar showing the other beggars where the bread is. Quite honestly, I don't know what's going to happen if we fail to cry out to God for this miracle of new birth in our families, friends, and our community. We know that we humans cannot convince other humans of their need of having their sins washed away. As proof of this, just ask yourself the following question: how do I respond to someone who I feel is trying to change me? How does that go? Your spouse tries to change you. How does that go? Your coworker tries to change you. How does that work out? The walls immediately come up, and I believe with all my heart that the only way the walls are going to come down is if we really, really pray that the walls come down. Our flesh is too weak and is of no value in this battle. John 6:23 says it like this: it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Duh! The flesh is of no help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In order to be saved, a person needs to hear that they've been conceived and born in sin, are alienated from God because of this sin, and that Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, shed his pure blood, indeed poured out his blood, so that sinful people can be cleansed, forgiven, purified, and made right before a holy God. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him or of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I'm going to go out on a limb. I think the end of the goal line of getting people across the threshold of those doors is over. I'm feeling really passionate right now about this. That can't be the goal post anymore. Maybe the goal post is their fire pit. Maybe the goal post is having them in your backyard. We can't expect sick people to come to us. We need to go to them. Will you please, please pray for a harvest of souls? Will you please ask God to put lost people in your path? Would you please ask God to empower you to share the gospel with them? Can we all do this for the glory of God? I read the New Testament and I see this as normative New Testament Christianity, the God who reaches. Will you allow him to reach others through you? Will you put your plans and agendas on the back burner for the sake of winning souls? Will you risk being unpopular for the sake of Jesus, the gospel? The words of Steve Green's song are still as pertinent today as the day he wrote them. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord at the end of broken dreams. He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord, and at the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. People need the Lord. So, dear friends, what happens when a salvation movement takes root in a church in a small community as we close? The saved people become the outreach arm of the church. And they reach out with a contagious joy, an infectious energy that cannot be suppressed as long as it is embraced and supported by the leaders and the members of the church. It must be seen as normative and completely in line with the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Salvations must be celebrated in the life of the church, and much made of them. Let us remember there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over every single one of us here today that's already repented. It actually says over 99 righteous. A soul has been saved from the ravaging effects and control of sin. A soul has been saved from God's wrath and subsequent eternal punishment in hell. A soul has been saved to radically glorify God and praise him now and forevermore. Let us give thanks for all of our missionaries who have given their lives for this glorious gospel. Amen.
Please stand and join us for our final song.
Oh, how strange.
dearest Heavenly Father. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our lives. That again you would rekindle the fire in us, Lord Jesus, to deeply desire to obey you in the waters of sharing the gospel, and living the gospel before people, and sharing our lives the best we can, even in COVID, Lord. Just show us and give us wisdom and discernment in how to do the work that you've called us to do. We know that love reaches, and we thank you that you are the God who reaches. We really pray that you'd bless each one of our missionaries in a very special way, that they would go out this week, Lord, with joy, and just be those fishers of men, and that we would, in our Jerusalem as well, be fishing for men, women, and children through the love of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, just bring a revival, we pray, to us and in our community and the greater world. Go before us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.